I am a millennial. Born in 1992, I fit right in the middle of the millennial age range. Despite many things I have in common with my fellow Christian millennials, I also find myself to be troubled by the direction I see many of them going, especially in light of the recent conflict over social justice in the church. I believe that the Bible teaches clearly on racial reconciliation in Galatians 3:27-29. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, and you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Wow, what an amazing truth. Christ has reconciled any and all ethnic, gender, social, economic, and racial groups to himself, making them one in him. I greatly rejoice over that and delight to have a great diversity of people to call my brothers and sisters in Christ. One of my favorite parts about gathering for Sunday worship is seeing all those different people that Christ has reconciled to himself. It would be sin and racist to deny the goodness of God in reconciling all manner of people to himself and to one another. However, that's not what I'm hearing from those pushing for social justice. I'm hearing rhetoric that goes far beyond this. Rhetoric that seems to be adopting the critical race theory and social justice philosophy of the secular world. I'm hearing rhetoric that concerns me greatly, not because I'm white. I'm actually Jewish, so I don't even know how I fit into this whole discussion. But because I'm a Christian who loves the unified and diversified body of Christ. What I'm hearing and seeing is not reconciling nor unifying, but divisive and unscriptural in its basis. As my mind and heart are weighed down by the current controversy facing the church, I yearn for unity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All sides of the racial reconciliation issue are impassioned and sensitive, for this is not simply a matter of clinical doctrinal defense, such as a defense for the deity of Christ or the resurrection. Perhaps in several years or months, an uncorrected course will lead to a full and explicit acceptance of the social gospel, but I do not think the racial reconciliation movement has reached that point yet. Let me explain. It may be possible that leaders of this movement, such as Russell Moore, Matt Chandler, David Platt, Paul Tripp, and Tabidi Enyabiwile, have begun embracing a form of the social gospel, as will be seen in future posts. Regardless, I truly believe that many of those following them, and maybe even some of them that are leading the movement, have not departed from the gospel at this point. I think there's confusion rather than apostasy, though that is where confusion can lead. Several considerations to this point should be made. It seems that the majority of Christians swept up in this movement towards social justice are young, millennials more specifically. As is commonly known, millennials are emotionally driven and tend to operate according to what feels good or right. Talk of correcting oppression and fighting for social justice seems noble, at least on the surface. This appeals to millennials. Number two, millennials like to get behind a cause. This provides a sense of purpose to millennials. The current racial reconciliation, social justice climate appears to them to be a worthy cause to embrace. Accordingly, it's shrouded in gospel-centered garb, which appeals to millennials who are seeking authentic Christianity. Number three, millennials tend to be progressive in their thinking. Tradition doesn't matter as much to millennials unless they're returning to what they perceive to be the original or authentic form of something. Social justice, which is a big item in progressivism, is being cloaked in Christian language and supported with some proof texts, which appeals to Christian millennials who are progressive but also read the Bible. Millennials, number four, are socially minded. This is both a good and a bad thing. Being socially minded in the sense of being aware of the existence and problems of other humans with other experiences is ultimately a good thing and ideally creates an evangelistic heart and life. However, the negative effects of being socially minded are a prioritization of social focus. When I consider these things about those starting to follow the social justice movement, not specifically the celebrity pastors with platforms, but their audiences, my heart is broken and grieved. I truly believe the majority of those following this movement are well-intentioned and sincere in their desire to follow Christ. However, are they stable in biblical doctrine? Without that stability, people will suffer the condition described by Paul, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Speaking humanly, I believe there's opportunity to rescue some from the sinking Titanic of new evangelicalism, which seems that it will inevitably capsize. In the meantime, however, the ship has not sunk, and there are still many living passengers. The fabric of the church has not yet torn. There are threads still holding things together. Now is not the time for anathematization, but conversation. I think all attempts must be made to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, as Ephesians 4:3 says. Since I believe there's still an open window for discussion to happen, I will lay out my general concerns for the progression of the social justice movement within the church. First, the role of the church in Scripture is not to change society or culture, but to preach the gospel and make disciples. Thus, an attempt to implicate the church in creating social justice is a misdirection from the Great Commission. Second, the desire for social justice in this movement is becoming so intense that the serious and damning theological errors of social-minded individuals are being overlooked, such as Martin Luther King's denial of the resurrection, his denial of the deity of Christ, and other central Christian doctrines. Men like Gustavo Gutierrez, Martin Luther King Jr., and others who believed the social gospel and taught liberation theology are made to be somewhat heroic Christians. Thirdly, because of these theological red flags being overlooked, it will only be a matter of time until the rest of these errant theologies are adopted, causing a full embrace of the social gospel. Because the social gospel is incompatible with the words of the New Testament regarding the mission of the church in light of the work and person of Jesus Christ, essential Christian doctrines will gradually fade away from the social justice movement's belief. Fifthly and finally, once this has happened, the entire movement shall have departed entirely from historic Christianity, and they will reject any who do not assent to their terms. However, on the other side of the aisle are those who are theologically conservative, politically conservative, mainly white, and older than millennials. Though they will doubtlessly remain doctrinally orthodox, I have some personal concerns for this group as well. I'm concerned that this group will respond too violently to the rhetoric made by those in the social justice camp and become like the fundamentalists eventually did, hard, bitter, and compassionless. I'm concerned that this group will swing too far towards a purely doctrinal focus and spurn any sort of social mercy as unbiblical, even at the individual level. I worry that doctrine will become divorced from practice. I'm concerned that this group will focus only on doctrinal matters and ignore or be apathetic about the fact that racial reconciliation and that movement involves people, their lives, their experiences, regardless of the ideological validity of the movement as a whole. This isn't the same thing as the liberalism of the 20th century, and at this point, it shouldn't be treated as such. Racism does still exist. Real people have experienced it, and that shouldn't be ignored. I'm concerned that this group will be quick to dismiss any sins committed by white Christians in the past. Though it's wrong to place collective guilt upon any group based on history, it is also wrong to excuse the slavery and segregated churches of the past. This is a very messy issue, and I'm not sure the church has faced one quite like it in history. At the current stage, essential Christian doctrines are not being denied, and I believe many genuine Christians are being misled. While God is sovereign and will keep his own, we should be active in fighting for unity as well as the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. As I engage these issues in individuals, I want to be compassionate, cautious, and uncompromising. Compassionate in weeping with and for those who have been victims of actual racism, as well as seeking to reasonably point out the dangers of this movement. Cautious in not creating a straw man of the other side, and uncompromising in the fight for the sufficient and true gospel. This post shares the concerns of my heart, and future posts will address the biblical perspective of social justice in relation to the church, historical movements, and good examples of Christians involved in societal issues.